Welcome to the Uncivilized Podcast. My name is Trevor Boehm and I will be your host. Every week or so, I try to get myself a fascinating human on the mic for you, someone who looks at the civilized world just like you do and says no thank you. Someone who wants to break some rules, to lead, and to bring their unique vision into the world. Someone for whom the status quo simply will not do. I hope you enjoy these conversations as much as I do. Please dive in. Hey folks, welcome to another episode of the Uncivilized Podcast. This is Trevor Boehm, your host. I want to share with you a little win that I've had recently. We just got our 200th man to join the Uncivilized Nation and have opened our 13th live meeting. So we have meetings all over the world with these various teams from Liverpool, England, to LA, to Houston, Texas, Rochester, New York, Santa Barbara, California. Like, this thing is growing and it's awesome. And I'm so excited just to watch this unfold. 6 months ago, we had no groups. And now 6 months later, we've got 13. So you guys are part of something extraordinary. Today, you guys, my guest is a pistol. This woman is pure fire, and I loved this conversation. If you don't know who Samantha Skelly is, you will now. She is a breathwork teacher. She is an author. She's just a stud. Like, she's just a badass. And really what I loved most about her is she's an unapologetic badass. And so we dive into ADD. We dive into breathwork. We dive into health. And we dive into aliens. Yep, we go weird on this one. And it was so fun to do. And you're just going to love her energy, love her power, love her message, and love everything about her. So ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, Sam Skelly. Sam Skelly, welcome to the Uncivilized Podcast. I have been waiting for this interview for some time, and I'm really, really excited to have you on. For people who don't know, the few people who don't know who you are in the world and what you do, can you drop us your like 1 minute elevator pitch and kind of share with us what you have going on, or even more interesting, what's inspiring you at the moment?
So I'm deeply moved and deeply inspired by human potential and pushing the edges of what's possible. And as a young kid, I did that through acting and dancing. And now I do it through spiritual and personal development of how many layers can we shed so that we become more of who we are? Because when we are more of who we are, the potentiality for what we can create in this world is through the roof. But oftentimes we are living according to our parts and according to our identities that is keeping us small and not allowing us to truly thrive. So I'm just obsessed with human potential and discovering all sorts of avenues and tools to really tap into our potential. And the greatest one I found so far is breathwork.
Okay, we'll get to breathwork in a bit. How did you go from actor, performer, to how did you make the transition into teacher and kind of visionary?
So I was on the path of becoming a real estate agent. My mom was a real estate agent and I was like, that looks like fun. You get to dress up and go to lunch. I'll do that. I was a child actress. I was a stunt double and I was a dancer all the way up into 18. My whole life I was in the entertainment and performance industry. Wow. And so the idea after that was I'm going to, you know, get into real estate. Start my own business, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I had a really nasty eating disorder between the ages of 18 and 23, which like spun me into a whole new direction for the better. Okay. So I was on over 50 diets in less than 4 years. I struggled badly with my relationship to my body, my relationship to food. And that is ultimately what spun me on this path of searching deeper and understanding why do we deal with the mental health issues that we deal? Why do we deal with the anxiety that we do? Why are we addicted to suffering when we have the potential to not? And so that's where it all started, is just through my own battles and through my own personal issues, I became ruthlessly obsessed with understanding how we can evolve in a way that isn't attached to suffering.
Oh, wow. This may sound like an uninformed question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. 18 seems like it's late for an eating disorder to develop. Was there something else going on, or did you feel like you had like the trickles of it earlier on in your life?
I dealt with body image issues when I was like 12 years old. So the first feeling of like feeling not at home in my body was about 12 years old. The eating issues didn't come until later, but it was years of suppressed emotionality and just, you know, self-hatred that manifested into an eating disorder. So that came later, but there was always body image and body hate stuff going on. Yeah, no, that's actually a really good question.
I imagine that it's got to be virtually impossible to spend that much time in Hollywood, in the entertainment industry, and not come out just having been judged 10,000 times from the outside. How does one even navigate that as a young person?
Yeah, it's interesting. So one of my passions and something that's so close to my heart is film production, you know, is creating art through like creating digital art. You know, I'm hugely passionate about that. And the reason why I got out of the industry is because it was so toxic, you know, it was so toxic, especially I worked on Smallville. So, there was a lot going on at Smallville when I worked in it. Just a lot of like underground, just bullshit that was happening on set. And so it was a really unhealthy and toxic environment for me to work in.
Yeah.
And so I am excited now, it being 10 years later, for me to enter back into film with a new angle with my own production company, which feels really exciting because I get to go back into it and have, you know, anchor it in personal development, anchor it in social impact, which is way better than the crap that happens in Hollywood.
Brilliant. Yeah. It, just watching the, I worked for a guy named Gavin De Becker. You ever heard that name from Hollywood? He was called Hollywood Secret Service. And so we did all of the EP work and private protection work at the Oscars and at the big events and for celebrities, let's say. And watching the industry even 15 years ago of, man, this is a closed organization. You're either in the organization or you're not. And now to see like, a 7-year-old on TikTok can pretty much dominate the entertainment industry. There's so much more freedom it feels like the old structures have fallen away. So good for you for just creating your own idea and taking it back in there.
Yeah, that's true. I remember I so badly wanted to be in the entertainment industry, but there were so many red flags and so many hoops. You know, you auditioned 300 times and maybe you land a Tide commercial, you know? Right. So yeah, there was just a lot. Whereas like now with social media, gosh, there's such a potential. And I have a love-hate relationship with social media, especially Instagram. Like Instagram is cool, but it's not showing us the whole totality of the human experience. It's showing us such a small part of it. Yeah. And through my art and through my creations, I love to tell the whole story, you know, even like through my book that your girlfriend is reading, which is really cool. I get to share like the rawness of the human experience, the depression, the anxiety, the self-hatred, the shit that we go through. And I find social media so limiting in many ways. And so I want to create social media on my own terms, adding in the whole human experience, you know?
Right.
I think social media in some ways is we're forgetting that we're humans.
Yeah.
And I want to
ask. How do you feel? I mean, I found you, I have the same sort of struggle. The people who are closest to me in my life, including my partner, I've met through social media. Yet there are so many days where I wake up and go, I am contributing to something that is drastically hurting the mental health of the masses, or is hurting the emotional health of young people. How do you balance just personally the sort of double-edgedness of being a social media person?
Yeah, that's a great question. Like I balance everything in my life. I always ask myself, what is my intention for consumption? What's my intention for doing this behavior, right? If my intention is coming from a place of I want to polish a turd and I want people to think that my life is better than it is. And I want people to think that I'm a millionaire and I'm this and that, and mine and Eric's relationship is fucking perfect. Like if that's my intention going in, that's driven by significance and ego, then I am contributing to the bullshit. But if my intention going in is, okay, I just want to teach, I just want to serve. Mm-hmm. I just want to educate. I just want to inspire. I want to inspire not through ego, but just through being real. Mm-hmm. Then I know I'm contributing to that, the healthy side of it. Cause mm-hmm. you're right. Like Eric and I met each other on Instagram, kind of, sort of, you know, like that was a path. I mean, all of my clients that I consider family, they all come from Instagram. Mm-hmm. So there's, that's why I say love, hate, right? There is this part of it that is so great. So there's that side of it. How can we contribute to something when our intention is coming from the right place? The second thing is, how can we have our own personal boundaries around it so that it doesn't, you know, invade our life? Like if the app is on my phone 24/7, it is going to be stealing a piece of real estate in my mind. Mm-hmm. I delete the app every single day. I download it for like half an hour, 45 minutes. I do what I have to do. I do my stories. I chunk everything. Mm-hmm. And then I take it off my phone. So I'm not constantly getting pinged with notifications and bullshit and all that kind of stuff. Like, oh, how many people liked my post? It's like, I don't care.
Yeah.
And so, and also like I teach on there and I show up on there and always asking myself the question, how do I want to be, how would I like to receive this message? Mm. You know, like how can I make my account so worthwhile for someone to actually tune into? Mm-hmm. And how can I, you know, how can I not make it about me and all this stuff that I'm doing? And how can I just constantly make it about them? And so when the intention's coming from that place, I think people really feel that.
Yeah. Beautiful. And that will help you stand out just in a sea of egoic, polished, filtered bullshit, toxicity. I get it. Yeah. I imagine it's going to change quickly over the next couple of years. Just seeing, you know, I looked back, this is an odd story, but I looked back through a bunch of screenshots that I kept on my phone 2 weeks ago and noticed a massive shift right around this time last year on how much higher the attacks, how much more aggressive they got, how much more toxic the messaging was, how many people were just getting unloaded on for, quote, making a mistake on social media that 2 days before nobody knew was a mistake, but then the collective agreed was a mistake and now went on auto, went on full throttle. So I have a feeling it's going to change, but it is something that people who exist on and make a living on, I appreciate the level of responsibility you bring. So thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Cause it is, there's such bullshit on social media, you know? And I think now more than ever, content creators need to be so anchored in who they are. Mm-hmm. Like my character is not fucking negotiable. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't care if you think I'm this or I'm that, and I'm this, it's like, I'm not. So it doesn't matter, right? You know? And I think we live in a world where like projection is just so through the roof that people just want to project on someone to diffuse their pain.
Yeah.
And oftentimes people in the spotlight are those people. Like, I got it last year for sure. And I was like, where the fuck is all this coming from?
Right.
You know? And then it's like, I'm like, I absolutely know that what you're saying is not my truth. So thank you for sharing your truth with me. But it's not my truth, you know?
Yeah. Now fuck off.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, see you later, carrying them out. I just like, you know what? Here's the thing, dude. Like, this is what I gathered last year. Mm. I don't care about the opinions of people that I don't care about.
Yeah.
I just don't. Right. Like, if you were someone that's in my life and, you know, even in this short amount of time that you and I have connected, I'm like, I care about you. Mm. So if you're going to come to me tomorrow and say, hey, Sam, I think what you said was a little bit offside.
Yeah.
I will listen and I will take that feedback and I will integrate that feedback and I will, you know, discern where the lessons are for me. But when you have 60,000 people telling you who you are and what you need to do and what you need to say and how you're wrong,
I'm out. Leave your shit elsewhere. I appreciate that. I will say, I asked a number of people what they want me to ask you about on social media. And so I'd love if we could switch gears and talk a little bit about a topic that seems to be coming up more and more and seems to be coming up more and more with women and women who are in positions such as yours of leadership and power. And that's ADD.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a bit about your relationship with it, how it interplays in your life? And I guess more importantly, how have you harnessed it to continue to be a fucking baller in the world?
Mm. Yeah. You know, I was a terrible student growing up because I had such bad ADD. And I remember my dad is a professional hockey player and he's a businessman and he's just a rad dude. And he said, don't worry about it. He said, what did he say? The A students will end up working for the C students, you know, like that's what he always said. And I was a C student. Like I did really good in drama. I did really good in entrepreneurship, but everything mm-hmm. else, and I did good in PE, everything else. And as that's the case right now at Paws, we have we've got a team of 40 people. All of them are way smarter than I am. It's great. but I do have, you know, I do have ADD and I don't struggle with it. Or I embrace it. Mm-hmm. I am so multi-passionate and my brain fires so a million miles a minute. Right. And I'm constantly thinking of new ideas and new this and new that. And my brain switches from all the time. And so it's just understanding like, okay, that is my gift. Now, how can I support my gift with embodiment? Yeah. So ADD, people with ADD are more prone to for anxiety, right? And it's no surprise that my niche is anxiety. So my system runs hot. You know, if we have a spectrum and we have anxious on one end and depressed on the other, most people are one or the other. Some people struggle with both, but when we get triggered, your system goes into a survival strategy. Some people's goes into a collapse and they get depressed. Other people's goes like fires on and activates and goes anxious. So my system always went anxious. So you've got like Tigger at one end and you're on the other, right? That's kind of like the way it is.
Now you're speaking. I totally get it.
You're like, I get it now. Okay. so through my career, I've had to really harness the power of like embodiment, getting in my body, feeling deep into my body. And what are the things that really help my brain relax and focus? Mm. And so I have so many tools and so many things that help do that, but I'm not trying to suppress my ADD. I'm trying to healthily express it. Mm. And so, you know, that helps me stay focused. It helps me get stuff done, but it also helps me be very colorful and all over the place. Yeah. And it's interesting. And I think just understanding what is supportive in your life. Like for instance, my partner, Eric, is steady as a rock. He's so focused. And so he's like the flagpole and I'm like the flag. Right. And so that works really well. My COO, again, same qualities as Eric. He's extremely detailed, extremely like, very technical, very, systems focused, you know, and so that type of business partner is really supportive for my colorful, creative, feminine brain. So, I do think it's a gift. And I personally don't believe in medicating your gifts. Mm. How can we, you know, embody more stillness to stabilize the gift versus to suppress it.
Oh, I love it. Thank you for that answer. I know this may not be necessarily your wheelhouse per se, but I'm curious, why do you think women especially are recognizing that they're more prone to it or have it? And I'd say now so more than before, or is it perhaps it's just my circle that it seems to be popping up? So I'm noticing it.
Yeah. I don't know the stats on that. I'd be actually really quite interested to see the stats on males versus females and the ADD rates. My intuition is saying that it is more common with females. Yeah. And if we just look at like the energetic and emotional flows with women, like we are more fluid. There's more of a fluidity, you know, we go through like the cycles with our menstrual cycle and things like that. So there is a little bit of more of a lack of emotional stability throughout the phases. Yeah. So that does make sense, but that's interesting that you say that. I'm going to actually research that when we're done. I'm curious.
Yeah. I imagine that. And I know it's like very, very diagnosed in little boys. And I imagine, I remember being a little kid and just like sitting in third grade and just freaking out because we had 32 minutes until I got to go run around. And that was just my body being like, I'm not meant for a classroom, but I'm curious if that's ignored in little girls because the little boys are acting out. And then as you all get older and it actually does begin to manifest and show up, that if it's then being ignored, it's like, well, women are, you know, they're scattered. It's the typical sort of societal view of like, they're just unfocused or they're just lazy or whatever we want to say, because we're not willing to look at look at it as a real issue. So yeah, it's something that's come up enough times. It's like,
That's really interesting. I would love to look at that. Cause yeah, you're right. I remember even in school, that's why I was a bad student is because I'm like, I want to dance. I want to play. I want to do this. I was always like so distracted with everything else, you know? Yeah. And yeah, I don't have kids yet. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Right? I don't have kids yet, but I want to give them an experience where they can follow their creativity. They can follow their, like, that's why we have so many mental health issues now is because we're so suppressed and numbed out, you know? And so if we can allow those parts of us to be expressed, imagine how creative and diverse the world would be.
Yeah. I agree. From your lens, what is the benefit to society of not allowing that creative expression? I look at something relatively, and I'm going to use this word, I know it's loaded, dumb, like TikTok, and go, I'm just not a TikTok person. I don't understand TikTok. Yet how many people are just grabbing 20 seconds of their creativity 5 times a day and have created this thing? But for them, it's actually really healthy expression. Mm-hmm. It's wow. Hollywood used to be only this elite. So no one else got to act unless it was in small regional plays. Now everybody with a phone who was an actor or was creative in that way gets to express themselves. Why do you think we've gotten to the place where creativity and full expression is so suppressed?
I think the control and fear and the system of like, well, if we keep people small and we keep them, we turn them into machines, then they can fit into the system that we created that fuels the corporations that, you know, all of that. It's all money at the end of the day. So if we can like add fear of like, you need to do this and this is what you should be doing and you're not going to get here unless you do this. And there's like that healthy amount or not healthy, but there's like that distortion of fear. People are going to conform to the pressure that's put on them. They're going to configure to that pressure. And then they're going to, you know, go do the thing that they should do rather than the thing that lights them up. So they're going to find themselves working at State Farm Insurance for fucking 40 years versus being an astronaut, you know? Sorry to anyone who works at State Farm.
I can't wait to get to like, John at State Farm. Just listen to your interview with Sam Skelly. I'm triggered. Sorry, John.
Sorry, John. I'm sure it's great.
Yeah, it sounds like a fucking blast. Sam, can we switch and talk about breath work for a bit? I was just in a class yesterday. I taught a workshop and it ended with my teaching partner, Leela Dilla, running everybody through breath work. And I'm constantly amazed at the shit that comes up and the shit that people work through. And I recently had 50 dudes together go through a breath work session and just like heads exploded afterwards. Yeah. For someone who's like, breath work, what is this breath work thing? Can you give us kind of the quick and dirty and the like, oh, why, or oh my, you're also going to get your head exploded version of this.
Yeah. It a lot of man, you are your own drug essentially. So we were created, whether you want to use God, universe, whatever it was, it's actually the name of my next book. You are your own drug.
I'm writing that down. Cause that's the name of this podcast now. Thank you. Well done. Well done.
we're doing there's a book and there's also something else that's coming.
Okay.
Anyway. We are our own drug, right? So we were created with the ability to regulate our nervous system, to heal anxiety, to clear trauma. We're all traumatized to really get to the core of our beingness. We were not designed to be these emotionally constipated beings who are just like walking around with all of this emotion and all this oppression. And because of the societal pressure, especially on men, like you can't cry. It's such bullshit because we're walking around like full of emotion when we just need to let it go. And so breath work is this tool that allows the mind to surrender the gripping onto reality so that we can get deeper into our bodies so that we can process the emotion that's there. Does that make sense?
Makes total sense to me. I've also done it a couple of times and been like, oh, wow, that was like an acid trip and ayahuasca kind of sprinkled together.
Totally.
But yet no weird hangover or shit after.
You don't have to go to the jungle and shit your pants, you know?
Always a bonus.
Always, yeah. Sounds like my Friday night. I'm just kidding.
Oh, shit. So I want to share that I had one guy in a group afterwards. We're processing after breath work, and they're like, "So what came up for you?" He's like, "You know, nothing really happened. Well, I did. I think I met God for the first time, but."
It's so wild, right? It's like, man, it's so powerful. So we have three pillars of connection. So at any point in time, like me and you right now having this conversation, there's three points of connection that is giving us information. Okay. So we have our mind, which most of us are identified with the most, right? So the mind is obviously, we have our reptilian brain. So a lot of the thoughts that we're thinking are fear. And a lot of the thoughts that we're thinking are the same all the time, right? We get into loops. And so when we loop, it doesn't give us any spaciousness to have other thoughts because we're just so full. The second pillar of connection is our emotionality. So this is all of our sensations and contractions, right? Our lightness, our ease, our joy, our bliss, our blah, 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 everything. Mm-hmm. Underneath that is where all of us desire to be, which is the intuition, the clarity, the discernment, the power. Now, with therapy and with meditation and with all these sorts of things, we have to fight through the mind, we have to fight through the emotions, and then we'll be at that place. With breath work, we bypass all of it and we get right to that place. That's why it's so powerful. That's why people are like, holy shit, like, oh my God, I just met God. It's because we're not viewing, I want to meet that guy. That's awesome. We're not viewing life from the structured mind. When we view life from the structured mind, we are just so limited in what we can do. So, you know, plant medicine can get us to this place.
Sure.
But that's not everyone's cup of tea.
Right.
And then breath work.
You're right. There's a travel, there's a buy-in, there's a risk. There's a lot of societal issues around, is this okay?
Totally.
I think stuff like this is monumental for law enforcement and military people who may not have access to the ability to get plant medicine. Talk me through how you created your own system, if you would.
Yeah.
Was it inspired by some of a personal experience or was there another story to it?
So the first time I did breathwork was 10 years ago in Bali, and I, like your friend who met God, I was like, what was that? Like, and then from there, I just started researching and training with all of the certifications that were on the market at the time. But honestly, like where all of my content comes from is, it sounds a little out there, but it's channeled. Like I sit in meditation and like these frames and maps come through, and I've had incredible downloads using mushrooms and ayahuasca as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Powered by plants, you know?
Beautiful.
And again, that's not everyone's thing, but it is a tool that I use and have used that is so beneficial to me. And it's just the transmissions that come through using those guides are just like, there it is.
Yeah. Let's get weird. Sam, where do you think that, because I agree with you, have used plant medicine, have had amazing downloads, blah, 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 the same scenario. Where do you think you're accessing that information from? Is that coming from a deeper part of your own being, or are you tapping into some universal cosmic intelligence just in your personal view?
So it's multifaceted, right? I think there's an intelligence that comes from the plant itself. Mm. Like let's talk ayahuasca for a second. Sure. So there's an intelligence that comes from the plant itself, from ayahuasca. Then there's an intelligence that comes from the soul. So when we remove the structured mind, the fears, the doubts, the limitations, the identities, then we have more direct access to our soul. When we have more direct access to our soul, then we're in direct access to Christ consciousness, universal energy. Yeah. So then there's like the guidance from the plant, the intelligence of our soul and Christ consciousness, God energy. And then the amalgamation of all those three things, it comes together with such, like they all feed each other. There's no conflicting ideologies when those things are coming together. And if we were to strip down everything always comes back to love. You know, any energy that's outside of the container of love is a human construct. You know, the fear, the ego, the this, the that, blah, 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 that's all such humanness. Yeah. And we create those things and we create that separation to keep ourselves safe. But what we're actually doing is keeping ourselves in the struggle. And so when we use, and I'm using the word, we use it like a tool because it needs to be a tool. And also people who go do ayahuasca 1,000 times, I'm like, what the fuck, bro? Like, no, like the amount of information that you get from one ceremony, you can integrate over the next 5 to 10 years. Yeah. And integration is the most important thing because the medicine doesn't heal you. It just shows you what needs to be healed. And then it's up to you to heal it. Mm. So does that answer your question?
Yeah, 100%. Okay. I know you're loving this conversation with Sam. I don't even need to ask. So I want to share with you guys the Uncivilized Nation. And ladies, if you're listening to this, please direct men to this group. As I said in the beginning of the call, we're at 200 men. We're at 13 live teams all over the world, and we are growing by leaps and bounds. And I am looking for good men. I'm looking for men who want to lead in their communities, men who want to lead in their families, and more importantly, men who want to lead their own lives. So if you are a man and you're thinking, okay, enough of this. I want to get out there. I want to do something great. I want to be supported. I want to work on my healing. I want to be introduced to other men on this path. Then this group is for you. And ladies, if you know a guy, yeah, I know you know a guy, this group is for them. So please go check out www.manuncivilized.com/the nation. And let's get this thing to 400 members and 50 groups. All right, back to Sam. Hang on. I haven't done it in about 5 years and feel right about now like, okay, I think it's about time to go back and revisit her. But know people who are like, man, I did it, you know, 12 times last year. I was like, slow down, take a breath. You know, you're addicted to the high, or you're just using it as a high.
Exactly. You got, and then it comes back to that, what we talked about with social media, right? What's the intention for doing that? Is it escapism? And also, like, while we're on this topic, it's really important that these medicines are used correctly. You know, like, don't go do an ayahuasca ceremony with Brad the shaman that lives in his mom's basement. Like, fuck that. You know, like all these people are like Shaman Steve, like, no, like, you know, like the place that I do ayahuasca is in the jungle in Colombia with shamans who've been doing it for 40 years.
They know
their stuff.
Yeah.
So it's just really important. But again, as we're talking about plant medicine, and if you're listening, I want to say that you can achieve those same downloads, those same highs through breath work. That's what I'm saying. And I think both are extremely valuable, and it's up to you what you choose, but there is such a similarity with the states that we can get into.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a lot of people are looking for the pomp and circumstance and are looking for the, hey, Instagram, last week I went and did ayahuasca, which is a lot, quote, cooler than I lay on my floor, breathed, and worked through a lot of my shit, which just isn't quite as sexy right now. Sam, this is I like to ask odd questions.
If you can
go back to the 18 and 23 time period, I sometimes feel that people who have the ability to have this much information or this much power come through them struggle at times when they're younger because that potential was there, or that potential wanted to initiate you into allowing it to come through, but your body or your experience was too young. Do you feel like if you go back to that time period, that perhaps, I'm not trying to take away from what you were going through body-wise, but is there something in your past that would make you think, yeah, this has been here all along. My vessel wasn't powerful enough or ready for it. Does that question make sense?
100%. And I agree with you. Like, I remember thinking to myself, I'm different. I'm weird. I'm like, there's something. And I was trying so hard to conform to what everyone else was doing, you know, like, Even like drinking alcohol, like I never wanted to, was never interested in it. Like I would always be the DD and I would be like, am I boring? Am I weird? What's going on here? Like, I remember I would be, before I went to bed every single night, and these journals are still at my parents' house, I would just journal and just like write down like all these like transmissions that were coming through and all these things, but I didn't get it. And I thought I was weird. And I thought I was like, yeah. And I'm like, I wonder if I'll grow out of this,
oh, wow.
You know? And I'm so grateful that I grew up in a family that was really supportive of expression and individuality. Like my parents were really solid. And so I had all the pressure of like the teenagers, but my parents were like, you can do anything that you want. Like you can be anyone that you want to be. And so I later had the awareness to actually, okay, tap into that power, use that power, channel that power. And that's what was channeled into my first company, Hungry for Happiness, and my second company, Pause. Wow. And now I'm like, okay, I get this now. Yeah. But yeah, I think I didn't have an avenue for that power to come through between 18 and 23. So I just sort of suppressed it. And that's what was, that's what ultimately created a lot of these emotional issues.
Wow.
Great question.
Walk me through, if you would, Hungry for Happiness.
Yeah.
Is it still part of, like, is it your heart? Is it your past? Is it, I know what it's like to build something and then go, wow, that was my whole life. And now I need to build this other thing. And it's, you're still happy that it's there. What's your relationship to that work, if you wouldn't mind sharing?
Oh, that's such a good question. You know, it's that company and that mission was all about eating disorders. Mm. And I feel so removed now from that. Mm. And I think that's actually a good thing, because I feel I struggled with it so bad. I recovered. I built a huge business around it. I no longer struggle with it. So the business is still there. The business is still thriving. The business is still doing its thing. But me, myself, I'm just not there anymore. Mm. So it's hard for me to invest in it to the degree that I do Pause, because it feels a little bit in my past.
Yeah.
So I'm in, and it's funny we're having this conversation, because I was talking to my COO about this, and I was like, do we rebrand it under Pause? Because we have an amazing coaching certification that we run. And we actually, the coaching certification used to be just for people who struggle with, who wanted to be food and body coaches. It's now not. Mm. And it's much more about energy work and things like that. But it was interesting that we were having this conversation earlier. So the business is still there and thriving and running. And there's people who I've trained who are so passionate about it. Mm. But I can honestly say that my passion lies in the breathwork space right now, because it's so relevant to my life stage at the moment. And it's all I want to do.
Yeah. And yeah. I think that's fair, right? You being the driving force and the foundation of your business, as you evolve into different realms, into different identities and different iterations. I think one of the beauties of being your own boss and being in charge of things is that as you develop, it develops.
Absolutely.
And then there is a hard time of like, hey, this isn't my thing anymore. Mm-hmm. Sure. Like we could probably drop you in and have you talk about the entire thing, but it may not light you up in the way of talking about breathwork does.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
How would you see, especially COVID, and I'm going to throw another oddball question at you. If we could take the collective and say, hey, everybody, and we're just going to go America because that's where we both live. Mm-hmm. Dear America, tomorrow night, you're all going to do 5 straight nights of breathwork. Everybody, all of you. How would you see a shift in the collective? And who would be challenged? And who would actually just go, holy shit, it's time for me to unplug from the matrix. This has been some bullshit.
Yeah, man. Such a good question. You know, I think this year was designed to awaken us. Mm. And I think there's a chasm now happening between people who are like woke up and like got the fuck on board and people who are still addicted to their suffering. And I think as the consciousness evolves and as we all grow, that chasm is just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. Cause once you find the light, you just want to go deeper into it, you know, and some people are just here to be in the darkness, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. We need balance. Right? Like our souls chose here to come here for a very specific reason. Some people came here to live in the dark. That's just what it is, you know? Mm. And maybe in their next life, it'll not be that story. But
yeah,
if we were to, so there's like the light and the dark, and then there's millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of people in the gray, right? Mm. We need to get those people in the gray to pick a fucking side. Because that's what's going to rebalance the consciousness and help us evolve.
Right.
And if we had everyone doing 5 minutes of breath work, the people in the gray would wake the fuck up very quickly and choose a side. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure.
Because you have, you know, you have people who are just bad people. You know, they're just committed to the darkness. Okay. Sure. You know, well, could they change 100%? Will they? I don't know. Maybe. But then I think that where I'm trying to focus all of my attention is the people in the gray, because as soon as people get it, they get it. Mm. You know, like think about the first time you did breathwork or the first time you did mushrooms, you were just like, oh, okay, I get this now. This makes more sense. There's more than just this body and this identity and this whatever. There's more to that. And I think that's where I'm trying to focus my work on right now. And the easiest way for me to do that is through breathwork, because I'm just teaching people that they're their own drug. And once they start using the breathwork, they're like, oh, I get it. And then they can go on their path, whatever their path is. If they want to deepen into breathwork, if they want to try plant medicine, if they want to just get into meditation, Reiki, energy healing, whatever it is.
Right. Awesome.
There's not one way to do it. You know,
breathwork. I'm going to throw you when I fill out a next ballot for the president, I'm going to be like, Sam Scali. it may not be what you want to do. Oh my God.
Well, that would be hard, 'cause I'm Canadian, so I don't think they'll allow that.
Like, she is going to come fuck some shit up, you guys. Hang on. This is going to be the funnest country ever, and it's going to be the healthiest country ever.
I think I can do that without being the president, you know? I think I can do that through my, like, technology and my production company.
Brilliant. Sam, there's one last thing that I was told to bring up with you, and this is another oddball, and I don't even know how to frame the question, other than someone said that you have a thing with aliens. Are you open to sharing?
Yeah, totally.
Talk to me about aliens, Sam.
Aliens are here. They're existing. They're all around us, you know? And I honestly feel like if humans can't get their shit together and raise the consciousness, that aliens are going to help us. I really do believe that. Like it's crazy to think we're the only species in this galaxy that's massive, you know? Like, planet Earth is a pin drop. Of course there's other life elsewhere, you know? And I think slowly but surely, like, you know, the Pez dispenser is getting revealed, and people are like, oh, wait a second, wait, what happened where, and what was in the sky? And, you know, it's, I don't know. I feel like I've had like alien interactions. I've been in Joshua Tree and like things have like really come through, and Eric and I have been like, you saw that, right? Yeah. You saw, yeah. Okay. Yeah. That just happened. And that's not earthly, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of my friends are just, and there's like alien energy amongst humans as well. You know, like there's people who have like alien DNA that are walking around the planet, you know, like we all have different gifts. Some people are like earth beings, like very earthy. Right.
Sure. Sure.
And then other people are like very like, you know, fifth dimension realm energy. For and sure. We all are like existing here. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a buddy, a great therapist named Michael Gay. And when people ask me to describe him, I'm like, I don't think he's from here. And it's funny, but it's not funny, because he has access to all of this, these older ways or these older times. Mm-hmm. I think it was a week ago, I was on CNN, which I never on, but popped on. And there was, I know, there was literally an article that said Pentagon says that flying object is definitely UFO.
Yeah.
Or it's not from the, and I was like, wait a minute, where are the riots? Where are the masses being like, hold on, we're seeing this. Why do you think this has come out?
Yeah.
It's come out. Why is the populace not revolutionizing? Like, wait a minute, we got to change the whole system now.
Yeah.
Why have we taken this information in and gone, okay, there's aliens.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I thought when you said I was on CNN, I thought you meant you were literally on CNN. I was like, whoa.
Just going to drop that in our podcast. So yeah, I was on the Today Show yesterday. Not me personally, but you know.
Oh man. So, you know, I think people are like not uproaring about it, because I think on some cellular level, we know it to be true, even though our minds don't think that. And I think also people are just like so desperate for a new narrative and a new way of being that they're like, fuck, if humans can't do it, like let's have the aliens do it. Mm. You know, I honestly think in media and some things like that, like, you know, the media will like villainize aliens or make them out to be like scary or whatever. And they're not, they're peaceful. And they embody a higher consciousness that we have not embodied yet. And I think we need some sort of intervention because humans are not getting their shit together quick enough. Right. And it's ruining the earth and we're killing each other and where there's like so much stuff going on. So it's like, I think on some level, you know, the aliens coming, people are going to be like, okay, well, considering the government's fucked and politics is all over the place, like maybe these guys will help, you know? I honestly think it's going to be a good thing. I'm like pretty excited for it.
Me too. Because yeah, the powers that be that we've created are not doing that well.
It's like we're trying to put fear on top of fear on top of fear on top of fear on top of fear. It's like, what are you guys doing? Like right. The only thing that's going to like alkalize is love, but people's egos are too damn big. They're not here for it, you know? So it's like, I think we need like drastic contrast.
I agree. Completely agree. Thank you for that. Sam, what inspires you right now?
Earth. Mother Nature. Ooh. Yeah.
Do you get to spend a lot of time in nature?
I do. We live right on the ocean here in San Diego.
Are you a surfer?
Yes, I surf multiple times a week. Yeah.
I'm in Colorado with 3 surfboards in my office.
Are you serious?
I'm totally blowing it. I know.
Oh.
I moved here for the land, but yeah.
You guys got to come out to San Diego and
I love it. Yeah. I lived in Santa Barbara for a number of years before
you
moving
did?
Here. Yeah.
I want to get married in Santa Barbara.
Mm. Do it. I did it. It didn't really work out, but
did you get married in Santa Barbara?
Yeah. Actually in Ojai.
You did?
Yeah. This was a different lifetime ago. Yeah.
That's so funny.
But it's beautiful. Highly recommend it.
Yeah.
I got married on Rincon at Rincon Beach.
No way.
Yeah. Want to get married at my favorite surf spot.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Whole another lifetime ago.
No kidding. I love it.
So you're inspired by Earth.
By Earth. Like I just think the earth has so much to teach us, you know, like the way everything, nothing's competing with each other. It's just, it knows its role and it just does it. There's so much patience. There's so much strength. There's so much power. There's so much stillness, you know, like Eric's a huge mountain man and I love the ocean. So we live here on the beach, but we go to the mountains a couple times a month. Okay. And it's just like, it's therapy for us. I feel really inspired. I feel also really inspired by documentaries, like really well done. Growing up in the film industry, like that's why I got into it, right? Is like, I love art. I love storytelling. I love like I spent the last 10 years telling my story, which is awesome, but I'm so excited. My next 10 years will be telling other people's stories, you know, and like going around the world and like different villages and different tribes and like, you know, like really listening to the stories of the people and conveying them in digital format. And yeah, so filmmaking.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant. There's nothing on this earth like a story.
Yes.
And there's nothing more empowering than hearing someone's story.
Yes.
And nothing is going to create change more than I think when we get to identify with other people's stories and put ourselves in them, as opposed to like, well, that's them and they don't look like me, so fuck them. Yes. Or they don't live like me. They believe in a different sky person. So fuck them. Brilliant. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story, particularly. Sam, for people who want to get more information about you or start taking your breathwork courses or dive into your work, where do they find you?
Yeah. PauseBreathwork.com has all things breathwork. SamanthaSkelly.com has all things Samantha Skelly. And then I'm super active on Instagram as well. So.
And your Instagram handle, just for people who want to hear it and won't look at the show notes.
Samantha Skelly. Just my
first. Thank you so much. You're an absolute joy and a love to have on here. I love this conversation. I know it's going to help people more than anything. So thank you just for being you and how you exist in the world and all the permission that you give people to be a little bit weird and to have, you know, say, fuck it. I'm just going to do me. So thank you so much. I appreciate you.
You're so welcome, dude. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you. This is Traver Boehm signing off on another episode of the Uncivilized Podcast. If you enjoyed this, please give us a share, give us a 5-star rating on iTunes, and if you're interested in getting a hold of my book, Man Uncivilized, whether you're a man or a woman, please go to www.manuncivilized.com/the book and get reading.